Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to Week 8 of the NFL season and time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. This show comes to you every week by these great sponsors. That's United States Marine Corps, West Central Trophies, ACC Midwest Transportation, and Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar. Let's introduce who is on the show with us today, Justin.
Hey, how's everyone doing? I think we got a pretty good show. We're going to talk a little deeper dive into some fantasy stuff, I think, John. We're talking a little free agent, a little trade. If you're wondering, I'm 5-2 in our league here. I'm still trending towards a three-peat of the Lombardi, and my team's good enough to do it. I wouldn't necessarily say I have the best team in the league, but I do have all my running backs injured. Yeah. A-Chain's out on IR, Khalil Herbert's been on IR, Kyren Williams went on IR, so even the guys I picked up to replace my guys are going on IR. And I have Saquon, but he was injured for a few weeks. Somehow, through all of that, I managed to be 5-2. I'm happy.
Lyle.
Yeah, shorter version, but I'm 5-2 as well, and I just can't believe I lucked out and McCaffrey played and bailed me out on Monday night against Eric LeBroughton. So 5-2 and feeling good and feeling like I have a great chance to make a good playoff run in the Loon League.
I'm clawing back in this league. I'm 4-3 now, finally. Problem is everybody above me is pretty rock solid, so we'll see how the rest of this season plays out. I've got some running back issues of my own, starting with Damian Pierce. Anyway, for the next hour, we're going to be talking about everything in the world of fantasy football. We want to help you win your league, so if there's any questions that we can answer for you, that new Loon text line, for the time being, go online, grab that free 94.1 The Loon app, and in the lower right-hand corner, you got that little blue button. You can reach us there by sending a message. Or if you miss any part of today's show, go online, 941theloon.com. So for the ACC Midwest Transportation Injury Report, we're just going to talk about some of the new injuries that came out during Week 7, starting with Jalen Hurts. Left knee sprain, probably an MCL, but he played well with a brace. He is trending to play. Deshaun Watson and his shoulder, I can't even tell you what we get. Subscapularis re-injury. Up in the upper dorsimus, as Ron Burgundy would say. He's probably not going to play this week. Austin Eckler with an ankle injury. More than likely, he'll be on the field, but not 100%. Barkley's got an elbow injury. But he should play. He's at about 75%. Bijan Robinson and his headache that took over fantasy football last week. He should be out on the field this week. Jerome Ford, probably not for the Cleveland Browns with a high ankle sprain. Deonta Foreman has a back injury, landed hard on his back, but he is trending to play. Jalen Waddle with a back injury. He's 50-50. Christian Watson with a knee injury, ACL, maybe MCL, maybe meniscus. We don't know. 50-50 shot there. And, what else do we got? Dawson Knox, we heard about that on Thursday night. He is out. Luke Musgrave has an ankle injury, but he's in a walking boot, so he's a 50-50. Gerald Everett for the tight ends with a quad injury as well. All right, guys. Yeah, let's talk a little bit. First of all, let's talk a little bit about Bills and Bucks. Your takeaway, Thursday night football, Justin.
Well, I think that's three straight losses for Tampa Bay, if I'm not mistaken. They've hit a bit of a slump. I think it's just Baker is who Baker is. They're struggling to get the ball to Mike Evans all of a sudden. You know, he managed to salvage his day with a touchdown late. But they can't get the running game going. And that's not going to help Baker Mayfield. He's a play-action type quarterback. He is a threat to run the ball. But you really don't have to worry about the run game. You got to worry about Rashad White coming out of the backfield. He's real good, you know, reception-wise, but they can't get the run game established. I'm more surprised at how well their defense is generally played. They've kept them pretty much in every game. Buffalo, it just looks like Buffalo, you know. Eric and I were talking the other day, and he just kind of has decided that Josh Allen just isn't a winner. He can't win, like, that big game, which he is yet to do. So other than that, you know, Buffalo looked like Buffalo. Diggs got his. Gabe Davis, I think, is the starting Buffalo this year. Kind of doing what I think a lot of people thought he was going to do last year when they drafted him way too early. And if you stuck by him and took him way later this year, you're getting rewarded because he's having a nice season.
Yeah, right on. Well, let's talk about it. Trade deadline coming up in fantasy football. Trade deadline coming up in the NFL. We're hearing about names like Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Jerry Jeudy, even some Devontae Adams. Lyle, is this causing you to buy, sell, pick up some names off the waiver wire? What are you up to during the trade deadline?
Well, I think Derrick Henry probably would be the biggest one because he, wherever he goes, he's going to go to play. So you're going to get the volume with him, but I think Tajay Spears is somebody you definitely should be picking up because I think there's a very good chance he gets moved. I'm not so sure about Devontae Adams. I certainly don't think Dalvin Cook is anybody I would be interested in playing. I think he's just done. And I don't know if it might have to be DeAndre Hopkins, or maybe if he got moved from Tennessee as well. I mean, I could see him being a number two or three wide receiver that he's already rostered. So I guess it might be more of an opportunity for some of the guys in Tennessee, like Burks and some of the other lesser named players for the Titans. But I don't think there's going to be enough moves that you're really going to have to plan ahead, maybe other than that Derrick Henry move.
Justin, I saw you made a trade. I don't think it was in the Loon League. Maybe it was another league there. What are you looking for during the trade deadline? Are you working over the playoff strength of schedule?
Yeah, that trade in particular I made with our friend Nick. And in that league, I was 2-5. And it's not my team's not bad. Like, I have some good players. It's just not really working. So I made a trade to make a trade, really. It was time to change it up. 2-5. You know, I'm not completely out of it, but if I don't get a win or two here in the next couple of weeks, then I'm pretty much out. So, he needed a quarterback and, I didn't, you know, I had quarterbacks, nobody great, but I was able to upgrade at receiver and, kind of stay level quarterback. Right now I'm sliding Geno Smith in instead of Trevor Lawrence. So what I'm looking for at the trade deadline is yes. First thing I'm looking at is playoff schedules. What's going on weeks, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16, as you run into, you know, you approach the playoffs, you got a pretty good idea what defenses are now. And I am starting to not concern myself as much with depth, you know, if I'm in that spot. So I'm basically loading up my starting lineup, looking to make a run for the playoffs. And then I'm looking for guys that I can buy low on as well, who I think are going to have a much better second half. Often that is rookie receivers. It's often rookies that finish stronger than they started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you there. I missed out on a trade last week that I should have taken. Yeah. Anyway, we won't get into that. The what could have beens. Let's come back and talk more. Let's talk some daily fantasy news and strategy on the week 8 version of the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Again, if you miss any part of today's show, it's 941theloon.com. Click the Fantasy Football Foursome tab. We put every show up there. Time to talk daily fantasy, and let's talk about quarterbacks. Justin.
Well, you guys are going to think I'm off my rocker, and I probably am. But I'm picking up whichever San Francisco quarterback is playing this week. If it's Brock Purdy, I'm going to go with Brock Purdy. If it's Sam Darnold, I'm going with Sam Darnold because they're affordable. It's in San Francisco. It's against Cincinnati. And I just, you know, I feel like whoever plays quarterback this week is going to have a good game. I know Purdy is like 5,200-ish, 5,600. Sam Darnold is significantly cheaper than that right now. I'd go put your lineup in with Darnold in there, and then before Sunday, if you have to swap it out, swap it out.
Yeah, Darnold comes in at 4,300. Lyle and I talked about that off-air. He's the gambler's play of the week, but boy, throwing a Darnold in there gets you opportunity to get some really big names at the other positions. Lyle, what do you got for quarterback?
Like we said, Darnold's on the list, and I still like Jared Goff. I know last week didn't go well for the Lions, but you still look at the numbers. He put up 284 yards, and it was just one pick. They didn't find the end zone. That's one of his worst games of the year. And he has been putting up regularly 20-plus fantasy points. Goff's at 6,400 on DraftKings, and he gets a pretty bad Vegas defense, too. So I look for a big bounce back from Jared Goff this week.
I'm just looking for the projections for this week. And as much as I hate to say it, Russell Wilson at 5,300, he's projected at about 17 points, which is what you're asking for, 3X. But I think the ceiling is there, too, because they're playing Kansas City, and it is going to be pass, pass, pass. We know that. I hate putting all my eggs in the Russell Wilson basket. A little bit more confident in Joe Burrow, who's going up against the 49ers. He's $6,000, so you got to pay a little bit more, but I think you got maybe a better floor there with Burrow. It just depends on how much money you have at the end. How about running backs, Lyle? What are you seeing?
I like Isaiah Pacheco. $6,100 on DraftKings. The volume is becoming more and more apparent. He's getting 20 to 15 carries. He's starting to find the end zone a little bit. He hasn't actually found it the last two games. Well, take that back. He did find one receiving. But he's also averaging about three or four catches a game now. So 20-plus targets, a Kansas City offense, and a game script that should be them beating the Denver Broncos, Isaiah Pacheco.
Justin, running backs.
Yeah, I like the Pacheco call. I have him slotted in as well. I am also I'll give you another injury play quick and then a running back I like. Kenneth Walker has missed practice Wednesday, Thursday this week. There's a chance he doesn't go. And if he doesn't go, grab Zach Charbonnet because he is dirt cheap. Also, you know, if you don't want to gamble with San Francisco quarterback, which I'm not going to do that for every lineup, here's another option for you to maybe pick up a guy really cheap right now, get him in there, and there's a good chance he ends up starting. And it's not a terrible matchup either. Cleveland's been struggling a little bit. They're going to have a backup quarterback in there. I could see that defense being put in some bad spots and Seattle getting a short field and Charbonnet getting a couple short touchdown runs. On top of him, I was right the last time I went with it. I'm going to give it a shot once more. Breece Hall, $5,900, playing against the New York Giants, 22nd ranked rush defense. You know, we know it is what it is at quarterback out there. And after the last game Breece Hall had, they should lean on him. I think they're going to lean on him. And that'll be good for everyone else in the offense as well, to include Garrett Wilson. But I like Breece Hall, $5,900.
I like Pacheco. I like Hall. I think Hall is what I'm going to start every lineup with at $5,900 against the Giants. Another medium play is you talked about the Cleveland-Seattle game. I like Kareem Hunt at $5,200. I know he's a little dinged up, but man alive, can that guy get you some DraftKings points, especially full PPR. I like Hunt, and I like Breece Hall, and then that way you can go out and get some of the bigger-name receivers this week. The biggest problem with Week 8 is it looks like it's going to be blowout central. There really is no game of the week here. A lot of low totals, a lot of weird, you know, spreads that are not sexy for DFS. So look at that accordingly when you are putting together your lineups. How about wide receivers, Justin?
I'm going to go with DJ Moore, $6,300, 32nd ranked against the wide receiver are the Chargers. Their offense is very good. The Bears defense is not. You know LA is going to put up some points. There's a little, I don't know if you want to call it a schism. Us folks in Minnesota love that word schism, but there seems to be a little schism between Eckler and the coach there about his usage and volume of work. So I think LA plays well this week. That's generally how a team responds. Or they do the opposite and their coach is fired, you know, by week 8. So I'm going to roll the dice on DJ Moore, who doesn't play for the Chargers. He plays for the Bears. And I think Justin Fields may play, but even if he doesn't, $6,300, I like DJ Moore against the worst defense in the NFL against wide receiver for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, kid had a good week last week. Lyle, wide receivers.
Let me give you two. One real quick is just Jordan Addison, $5,700. He's basically Justin Jefferson light, and this is when you're going to play him. As long as JJ's out, you're not going to get a better price on him. Then I like Josh Downs, $4,800. He has had 13 or more fantasy points for the last five games. The floor is there, and now he's showing there's a ceiling. He just had a 26-point week, so get Josh Downs in your lineup.
Well, then I'll throw three of them out. I like your guys' picks, too, especially Addison at $5,700. That's a wonderful play there. Kendrick Bourne had a nice week for you last week if you started him at $4,700. New England up against Miami. And again, Mac Jones is going to have to pass the ball. Hopefully Bourne isn't covered by Jalen Ramsey. Deontay Johnson has shown up on the injury report, but what did he do last week? He came right back into your lineup if you started him, and just he's a target machine. Target machine for 5,000 up against Jacksonville. And then Tank Dell coming off, I believe they came off a bye week, $4,900. I think people are forgetting how good this kid is. And I think the floor is there, and I think the ceiling is high for $4,900. Tight ends, back to you, Lyle.
Well, it's like anything, Hockenson or Kelsey, if you got the money. Then Dallas Goedert's probably my guy for the medium range, $4,600 against a bad Washington defense. Goddard's coming along. I think he found the end zone two of the last 3 weeks. Targets is still pretty high. I think he's getting 6 to 8 a game. Play Dallas Goedert, or I'll have a cheap one at the end after you guys get a turn.
Justin.
All right, I'm going to say Sam Laporta. If you have the money at $5,500, he's still somewhat affordable, and he's getting closer and closer, right, to Hockenson and then Andrews and then Kelsey, who's at the top. But I like Laporta against Vegas at home, Monday Night Football. A little bit cheaper of an option is old Turd Ferguson, Jake Ferguson, $3,600, playing the L.A. Rams, again, at home. I don't think it's a secret. I generally enjoy home teams when we're doing these things, especially defenses. And LA Rams are 27th against the tight end. So it could be a good game for Jake Ferguson, $3,600.
Yeah, the cheaper one that Lyle was teeing up for us is Trey McBride, tight end, Cardinals. Zach Ertz is, well, no more for the most part, at least for right now. Trey McBride, the Mackey Award winner that we've been talking about, and now he finally kind of gets his chance. And I think he had his chance last year and didn't do so hot, but that was a different quarterback. This is a whole different setup here. Zach Ertz has been just hoovering in targets, and I don't think it's going to change with Trey McBride. So McBride's at 2,800 if you go heavier on other stuff. But honestly, I feel a lot better if I'm able to put Hockenson in, who has just been unbelievable. Of course, Kelsey at $8,400. He just keeps doing Travis Kelsey things. And it's, yeah. Yeah. I didn't, but Trey McBride will be in some of my lineups for sure. Now, defenses. Justin, what do you got in play?
All right. Let's talk defenses. I think I was looking for a cheap option. And honestly, fellas, I think this is a week where I'm just going to have to spend a little bit of money. Not a ton. I'm taking the Falcons. $2,900. Tennessee is going to be trotting out likely both Malik Willis and Will Levis. And listen, the only thing better than one of those guys starting the game is both of them playing right in the game for my defense. So I'm going to take them Falcons against those two practice squad quarterbacks.
Lyle, defenses.
Cheap option, Minnesota, $2,500 against the Packers. I know it's on the road, but Love turns the ball over every game. There's a guarantee pick or fumble here and that. And then I even like Cincinnati, $2,200 against San Francisco. I mean, if they do roll out Darnold, again, it's the same kind of deal. He's not a Jameis Winston type, but he is going to turn over a ball at some point in that game.
Yeah, we keep picking each other's picks. I had three down, and number one was the Falcons. Number two was the Bengals. So I suppose I got to give you number three, which is the Jaguars against Pittsburgh. I just recently realized that Pittsburgh has a winning record somehow. I still don't understand why, but I do like the Jaguars up against Kenny Pickett and the gang for $2,800. But in all honesty, I'm probably starting with the Bengals and the Falcons in my lineups. All right, we're going to come back, talk United States Marine Corps waiver wire warriors. It's the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome, and it's time for the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. Well, getting to be that time of year where we're trying to get our lineups all sewn up for the playoff run, but there is some value out there, as there always is. Quarterbacks, Justin, what do you see?
It's not going to help you this week, but I just want to mention Baker Mayfield, who's available in almost every league, and he's really only, if you've played him, there's only 2 weeks that he may have burned you, where he got 10 points in week 3 against Philly and 7 against Detroit in week 6. which he's a streaming quarterback, so you probably shouldn't have been playing him those weeks anyway because they're not great matchups. Otherwise, he's had 15 or more fantasy points in every single game, every other game he's played this season. And he's available in 80-some percent of leagues. Someone who can help you out this week is Sam Darnold. If he's on your waiver wire, go snatch him up. Otherwise, I don't mind a little bit of Sam Howell this week because they're playing at home against Philadelphia. A lot of people may not know this, but he's the 11th ranked quarterback in fantasy football. So I'm going to throw out old Sam Howell for you against Philly at home.
As a Sam Howell manager, all I can do is laugh, Justin. I'm sorry. This has been a Jameis Winston-esque roller coaster ride with this cat. He's eaten an average of 4 sacks a game. And, you just take your life in your own hands, trotting him out there. But that's kind of what fantasy football is all about.
Lyle, he's quarterback. Similar, but, John, 5 of 7 games, he's had 17 or more points.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you've been all right playing him. There are 2 weeks where it was a dud, but there's not a lot of quarterbacks, even the best ones, who haven't had at least one dud week this season.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Give me a quarterback, Lyle.
Well, Jared Goff and CJ Stroud are available in 25% of leagues. If for some reason they're out there, those are guys you got to scoop up right away. Okay. I'm going to pick up Kyler Murray for the long haul. He's available in 70% of leagues. I think he's obviously going to be the starter. They're not going to just like bring him back and then sit him on the bench behind Dobbs. So he's going to play, and he has top 10 potential for the upside for the long haul. You pick him up. Maybe you have another good quarterback. Maybe you have a Lamar. Maybe you have a Mahomes. You can trade any guy you want and roll with him and fortify any position in your lineup with a move like that.
This is a play. Let's say you had Dan Jones and Anthony Richardson on your team, and now you're screwed. So this is a one-week play only that I'm throwing at you, and his name is Derek Carr. There is nothing sexy about it at all. He's gotten 17, 16, 15 over the last 3 weeks, but this week he's up against Indianapolis and that weak secondary of theirs. 1 week only. This is not a long-haul play by any means, but if you are in a deeper league or in a problem situation, I do like Derek Carr this week, and more than likely, yeah, he's available in 80% of leagues. How about running backs, Lyle?
I think the safe floor play, and this is a guy that's available in about 43% of leagues, Daryl Henderson. He got like 19 touches in the game, surprisingly, for the Rams last week. It looks like they're going to go back to him again. There's a solid floor for you. If you're needing any sort of injury replacement, I think he could sub in as a flex or maybe even an RB2 this week.
Justin.
If he's out there, 55% of leagues, go grab Roshan Johnson. If not, Devin Singletary out of Houston is available 70% of leagues, and he is doing as well as Damian Pierce. He had 12 carries in his last game, week 6 against New Orleans. The carries have been going up. So he's a guy you can pick up that's going to at least touch the football. Available in 70% of leagues, and it's a great matchup. Carolina 31st against the run, against running backs in fantasy football.
Yeah, Devin Singletary is my number one choice, too. He's out snapping Damian Pierce. The other one I would throw out at you is Pierre Strong, available in 95% of leagues. Kareem Hunt has a questionable tag on him. Pierre Strong came right in and kind of took over the Jerome Ford, Nick Chubb role, and Kareem Hunt had the Kareem Hunt role. So nothing sexy about Pierre Strong by any means, but keep an eye, especially if you're a Kareem Hunt manager, that maybe you should have Strong as well. He's very serviceable running back. Oh, wide receivers, Justin.
Well, I think a lot of people dropped him because he's been injured for a couple of weeks, but Tank Dell's still available in 45% of leagues. So if he's on your waiver wire, grab him right away because he was having a great year before the injury.
Yep, no doubt.
If not, let's go with old Josh Downs, who is still available in over 50% of leagues for Indianapolis. He's been very steady. He's a safe flex play pretty much week in and week out, but he's got 3 straight weeks of double-digit fantasy points. So that's with Gardner Minshew. So he's clearly targeting him as well.
Lyle.
Rashee Rice available in about 45% of leagues. Definitely scoop him up and play him as a flex. A little further down the line, like much further down the line, I actually like Brandon Powell for the Vikings. I think he's going to get more looks than KJ Osborne and could be at a much, in a very deep league, Brandon Powell could be a, if he finds end zone, could be a nice pickup for any wide receiver starving team.
Same deal here. If you are in a pinch or if you're in a deeper league situation, Juwan Jennings from San Francisco, he had 9 targets against the Vikings. He only turned it into 5 receptions and 54 yards. And yeah, it might be Sam Darnold throwing him the ball, but in some of these situations, I will happily take 10 points out of a flex player, and it wouldn't surprise me one bit. I don't think Debo is suiting up for this week. Hopefully you have better options, especially when there's no buys this week. And somebody needs to explain to me how the NFL does this with a no bye week after having a whole bunch of bye weeks. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Tight ends, Lyle.
And it's always tough. I think we talked about many of them during DFS, but I'd have to go for sure Trey McBride. I just think the opportunity is there for him to pick up where Ertz left off. He's going to be out for at least 4 weeks, it sounds like, Ertz. So this is a great opportunity for McBride to show his pedigree, can perform and produce on the field.
Justin, tight ends.
Well, I had to play him last week, and he did exactly what I needed. Old Jonnu Smith in Atlanta, he's available in about 80% of leagues. And Hunter Henry, who's had, you know, 3-4 duds in a row, playing against Miami, who's 25th against the tight end. New England's going to have to try to score some points in this game. And when they have scored touchdowns or been successful through the air, excuse me, Hunter Henry's been heavily involved in it. And that's what they were doing the first couple weeks of the season. So I like Hunter Henry, who is available in exactly 76% of leagues. So you can probably grab him.
This next one is based solely on whether or not Juwan Johnson suits back up for New Orleans, and that's Taysom Hill. And 16 points last week, 12 points before that with Juwan Johnson riding pine. And again, New Orleans up against Indianapolis. And I can't remember ever a time in my life who I've seen where I've seen a player who can be a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver, and a tight end. And that is what you get when you put Taysom Hill out there. You also just should just not watch the game because you don't know what's going to happen. He could get you the old zero burger, or he could light it up for 35 points. So if you're a gambler and ready to play some tight end roulette and Juwan Johnson doesn't play, I love Taysom Hill, available in 85% of leagues. Let's run through defense streamers quick, guys. Go ahead, Justin.
I'm going to give you the Falcons again, because Tennessee's trotting out backup quarterbacks, and they're available in 74% of leagues. If you can't grab them, then you could probably do worse than the Houston Texans against Carolina. They haven't been able to run the ball at all, which is Houston's biggest weakness on defense, and their passing game hasn't been super great either. And Bryce Young has made some bad decisions and thrown some balls away into the other team's hands. So you can get them in every league. They're available in 91%.
Lyle.
These are all decent options, I think, that are available in 50% or less. Jags, Vikings, Bengals. I would do them probably in that order. Jags are actually number 8 fantasy defense so far this season, too.
A fun one for me is the New York Giants. The barf bag of the week is the Giants-Jets matchup. Boy, oh boy, can't wait to sit down and watch that one or sleep through it. Available in 79% of leagues, the Giants taking on the not bound for the Hall of Fame, Zach Wilson-led Jets. Got a couple minutes left to go. Let's continue the talk that we had in the first segment, trades and whatnot. Justin, when you're constructing a trade or when you're looking for things, talk to me about, just talk to me about what you're up to when you're doing that.
All right. So I'll run through it as quickly and simply as I can. The first thing I'm going to do is go look at where do I have the best depth or the best expendable player, right? Then, or what position? Then I'm going to go look at every other team and see who needs that the most and what they have for the position that I need. And that's kind of the where I start every trade when I start looking to make a trade. I also am targeting people that I think are going to have a really good second half or a better second half than a first half. For me, those guys right now are Ramondre Stevenson. Ramondre Stevenson, New England went through some tough matchups early in the season as far as run defenses. And I think Ramondre is a guy you can get really cheap right now. And he is going to really do well in the second half. He's a strong second half. And then the last thing is, you know, we've talked, there's some rumor mills about trades. You want to keep an eye on that. There's talk of Derrick Henry potentially getting traded. I don't think it's going to happen, but you could maybe make a move for Tajay Spears, who, even if Henry doesn't get traded, has been more and more involved throughout the year, and you can still get him pretty cheap as well.
Lyle, are you – oh, go ahead, Justin. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. The last thing I'll tell you, when somebody offers you a trade and you're debating whether or not to accept it, what I always do is just go look at my lineup as is, I look at kind of the average points that I'm going to get, and then I remove whoever I'd be trading way out of that lineup, and I slide in whoever I'm getting, and I do the same thing. And if it feels like more points, regardless of who the players are or what it does to my roster, if the math works, because I'm a little bit of a nerd, then I'm going to make the trade.
Right on. Lyle, are you much of a trader? If so, what are you looking at for the remainder?
I'm not much of a trader, but he's brought up a great point, and I've looked at my team in the Loon League a little more seriously about that. I have some receiver depth. I have some running back depth. I have Kirk Cousins at quarterback. Could I upgrade there? Perhaps. So far, it's been pretty good, but I probably need to make a move at tight end, and it's going to cost me. So I'm going to probably have to package a running back and a receiver to make that happen. Yeah. And that's probably a plan I'll be working on this week. If I can make that happen, then I get, like Justin just said, I can get 5 extra points at the tight end position without hopefully sacrificing much at running back or receiver.
Well, and just being able to sleep at night knowing who you're starting at tight end and not having to worry about, well, is this a Taysom Hill week or is this a Turd Ferguson week or who is this? You know, oh, it just feels so much better. All right, it'll be time for Trench'em and Bench'em. We're going to talk about the remaining games for Week 8 of the NFL season. Thanks for joining the Fantasy Football Foursome. Time for Trench'em and Bench'em on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Here's the deal. Nate Thomas only allows us an hour. So if we go over, and we'll let you know if we do, you're going to have to roll over to 941theloon.com or that free 941theloon app. And where it says extra long, we will continue our coverage of the games. Trench'em and Bench'em, Week 8. No teams on bye. And it's time for some Houston, Carolina action. Lyle, what do you got?
Well, for Houston, the rookie sensation, C.J. Stroud, you're playing him. I mean, I think he is, especially if you're in a 12-team league, he is a top 12 option. Play him every single week. Running back position is a little sketchy. Right now, Devin Singletary is kind of chipping into Damian Pierce's usage. That kind of hurts them both in a weird way. I think they're probably both just flex plays at best. I like Nico Collins. I think he's a wide receiver 3, certainly a flex option. Tank Dell, I have him in the Loon League. I'm probably going to keep him on the bench just for this week. I want to see what happens again once because they have been using Robert Woods and tight end Dalton Schultz in this offense. So I'm just going to wait and see. It's kind of a holding pattern with Dell. Same with Dalton Schultz. He either is on your bench or on the waiver wire. As for the Carolina Panthers, I think there's really only a couple starts. Adam Thielen, who's been like a late draft pick sensation again at age, 33? You're playing him every week, and I think he really is the only for sure in the trenches. Maybe some Chuba Hubbard. I think I like him actually over Miles Sanders at this point. But those are probably the only two other options I would play for the Carolina Panthers.
Houston's favored in that game by 3 points on the road. Justin, Los Angeles Rams, Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, on the Rams side of the ball, Cooper Kupp in the trenches, Puka Nacua in the trenches, Tyler Higbee, tight end's kind of a tough spot. I got no issue with him being at least a streaming option. And that's it. I'm staying away from Tutu. Like, it's a nice story, but he is the odd man out since Cooper Kupp came back. If you think that I'm wrong, just go take a look at his targets since he came back compared to Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. He is the guy. I don't think it's a talent thing. It's just pure numbers. And I'm staying away from the running back position unless you know, it's a desperation play. Like, you have to play a running back, then you can throw Darrell Henderson in there, but it's a bad matchup. It is a, I think he started the year as the third, maybe the fourth string running back behind Akers and Kyren Williams. And let's not forget, there was also a, Ronnie Rivers was in there at some point. So I'm going to try and avoid him. Him and Freeman pretty much split carries last week. So I would stay away from him if I can. And then Stafford, he's like one of those odd quarterbacks whose receivers have been fantastic. The Rams are exceeding expectations, but he gets like no points somehow. It's just not translating. So Stafford stays on the bench. Dallas side of the ball. I am trenching CeeDee Lamb, Tony Pollard, the defense, Jake Ferguson, and with four or five starting quarterbacks potentially out, I'll throw Dak Prescott in there as well. I think Prescott and CeeDee Lamb are second half trade targets for me. I think Prescott finishes year, I'm not saying top five quarterback, but I do think he ends the year being a quarterback that you can just put in your lineup and leave him there, and he's going to get you your 20 or so points. And I do think better days are ahead for Tony Pollard as well. That's it for this game, John.
Dallas favored by 6.5. Darrell Henderson was actually signed to the XFL when the Rams came calling. Okay. I get the Vikings and the Packers. Well, Kirk Cousins is turning into a start. Not that he wasn't before, but Kirk looked great last week, and we have to admit that as Minnesota Viking fans. So, yeah, run Kirk out there against the hated rivalry Green Bay Packers, even though it is in Lambeau and, well, there's a chance of rain. Alexander Mattison managers are probably not too happy. I don't know. Maybe you got him in the fifth round, and maybe this is what you thought out of an RB2. But he is splitting. It's about 50-50 with Cam Akers. I like Mattison over Akers. I should like Akers better because at least he can catch the ball. But I'm not confident in either of these guys right now. I'll tell you who I am confident in, and that's Jordan Addison. He just stepped right in and is turning into a wide receiver one, so certainly he's out there. I like Osborne as a flex, and that's as far as it goes with the wide receivers. I'm not ready to flex Brandon Powell or anything like that, and TJ Hawkinson is an animal. Set it and forget it with that guy. All formats with him. Over to Green Bay, Jordan Love. Oof. Boy, after the first couple games, you thought, hey, this. I think he was quarterback three. And now he's missing guys by 5-6 yards. I know this Vikings secondary isn't great, but no Jordan Love. Aaron Jones, though, he's got a questionable tag. I like him against a bad Viking run defense. Christian Watson, you got to have faith in Jordan Love. So, yeah, throw Watson out there as a flex. Deep league play. It's Romeo Doubs as a flex and maybe Luke Musgrave, tight end mandatory start, and that's it. 35% chance of rain in this game, and the Vikings are favored by 1.5. Lyle, New Orleans taking on Indianapolis.
Yeah, lots of guys to put in the trenches for this one, starting with Alvin Kamara, who has amazingly, has 35 catches in four games. He is firmly back in RB1 territory, so if anyone who is lucky enough to stash him away for the start of the season is reaping that reward. Then you've got Chris I play for the Saints Olave. He's wide receiver 20 now. He's only had one touchdown in seven games, but you drafted him high. I think he's a safe wide receiver 2 at this point. Michael Thomas, oddly enough, has scored between 9 and 13 fantasy points in a full PPR format. So if you're looking for 10 or 11 fantasy points, there's your man, Michael Thomas. I personally think you can do better, and I would have him on the bench. I do like perhaps playing the Saints defense, which is on a week-to-week basis been one of the top five units in fantasy football. So make sure you play them as well. I think in daily purposes, Taysom Hill could be a fun play, but just because Juwan Johnson could play this week, it looks like he's trending towards suiting up. I'm going to stay away from the tight end position for the Saints. On the Indianapolis side of things, it's much simpler. You are playing Jonathan Taylor, who is emerging now as the number one option again. I think you can make a case for Zach Moss as like a flex option, but then the only other must starts are Michael Pittman, and I do think Josh Downs in deeper leagues is a definitely wide receiver 3 or flex material.
So we've got New Orleans favored by 1.5. Justin, New England taking on Miami.
All right, road team New England. I'm going to do something that nobody should, and I'm going to try and figure out what Bill Belichick's going to do in this game.
Good.
So I looked at the first New England Miami game in New England, and Mac Jones threw it like 50 some times. That doesn't seem like anything, even in the Tom Brady era, that Bill Belichick wants to do more than once. So I think this game, he flips the script, plays ball control, chain moving defense against Miami team because they're in Miami and Miami's a fast paced offense. I think he believes more in his defense than his offense. So he hopes that they can somewhat keep Miami out of rhythm if he can have those long chain moving drives offensively, which means a lot of running. So in short passes, I like Ramondre Stevenson in this game. He's in the trenches. I don't mind Kendrick Bourne as a flex. He's had a couple good weeks in a row. I'm staying away from the defense. Hunter Henry, I think, is a good streaming option this week at the tight end position. And Mac Jones may not be the worst option in the world. I mean, Miami's 29th. Mac Jones has had a couple games where he's thrown multiple touchdowns, a fair amount of yards, and he's also had a couple games where he just threw interceptions and no touchdowns. But I think this game, with the way New England approaches it, Mac has a very productive day, a lot of shorter passes, and maybe sneaks in, you know, a touchdown or two on a screen pass. So with the quarterback injuries, I wouldn't be afraid to put him in there. I'm not starting him over, you know, your regular quarterback, though. That's it on the New England side of the ball. On the Miami side of the football, you got to get them all in there regardless of the matchup. Tyreek Hill, who's questionable, keep an eye on that. But he's in the trenches. Jalen Waddle, who's starting to pick up a little bit of steam after, he's been steady, I guess. I don't know why people are kind of down on Jalen Waddle. He's actually not been horrible in PPR format anyway. But he's in the trenches. Tua is in the trenches. I'm staying away from that Miami defense. Raheem Mostert, he's got to go in the trenches as well. I wouldn't expect a big game from him, but you got to throw him in there. That's it, John.
Well, windy, 20-mile-an-hour winds in Miami, 35% chance of rain, and Miami favored by 9.5 points. Lucky me, I get to break down the Giants and the Jets, the Battle of New York, and what a battle it'll be. Breece Hall is a running back one. Garrett Wilson is a flex. Yeah. Okay, over to the Giants, where we've got, I think, Tyrod Taylor is going to be playing another week. I don't know if Daniel Jones is healthy or not, but the Jets' defense is pretty solid. Saquon Barkley had himself a game for you. And so you're running him out as an RB1, I guess. And boy, oh boy, we've got Darius Slayton, we've got Jalen Hyatt, and we've got Wandale Robinson. Yikes. I have no idea what to tell you to do there other than to make sure to put Darren Waller, who just exploded last week, in your lineup. I hope you've got better options than New York Giants wide receivers. The only thing to make this game better is we've got a 35% chance of rain, and the Jets are favored by 3. Lyle, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh.
A real interesting fantasy matchup. The Jacksonville Jaguars have such interesting fantasy pieces, starting with Travis Etienne. He's running back number 3 overall in fantasy. So you're playing him. He's a must start. Christian Kirk, he's been very solid since a weird start to the season, pretty much a no-catch week 1. But since then, he's been dynamite. He's a wide receiver, too. Calvin Ridley slipped off his performance. He's more of a flex or maybe a wide receiver 3 option in deeper leagues. And then Evan Ingram, he's in the trenches every week in tight end mandatory. He's tight end 7 overall. But you'd think with all those pieces that Trevor Lawrence would be a fantasy starter. But I think you got to bench Trevor Lawrence. He's not top 17 fantasy points in any single week. And I think he's only had 2 games with multiple touchdowns. So even with all that offense, I'm not playing Trevor Lawrence.
It's kind of like the Matt Stafford conundrum, Lyle. It's the same thing, right? His receivers are, Stafford's receivers are doing even better fantasy-wise. So,
yeah, just strange situation. And then for Pittsburgh, it's come down to just the receivers. George Pickens has kind of emerged here with Deontay Johnson being out over the last couple weeks. I think he's a safe wide receiver 3 play. And I'd say the same for Deontay Johnson. Wide receiver 3 are flex options. And I'm just staying away from this running game. Najee Harris is ranked 32 overall in the running back rankings, and Jalen Warren's 28. Honestly, they're flex options at best, both of them. So I would probably play the Pittsburgh Steelers and Jacksonville defense, though. I think this might be an underwhelming performance.
It's going to be a sloppy one, that's for sure. 70% chance of rain. Jacksonville favored by 2.5 points. Justin, Atlanta and Tennessee.
All right. I will tell you, if you're one of those people who have Warren and Najee, the big difference is that Jalen Warren has been steadily getting you right around 10 points a game, where Najee's had a couple real dud games that may have hurt you. Okay. I did that just because there's even less to talk about in this game. Atlanta. Bijan Robinson is in the trenches. Weird headache thing last week. Drake London has quietly been very serviceable for fantasy purposes. He's got a nice string of double-digit fantasy point games going right now in PPR format. So he's in there as a flex. Kyle Pitts, Jonnu Smith, flip a coin. Either one of them is fine at the tight end because they both seem to be pretty heavily involved, and they basically are producing the exact same numbers game in and game out as the other guy. So they're fine. Falcons, great option this week. Slide them in as a streaming defense. And that's it for Atlanta. On to Tennessee, Derrick Henry. That's it. We can move on.
37% chance of rain. Yeah, we're precise here at the Fantasy Football Foursome. Atlanta favored by 2.5 points. My next game, the last of the noon games, is Philadelphia taking on the Washington Commanders. Well, with Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts running around with a brace on his knee, nobody seems to be too fired up about that injury. He doesn't even have a Q-tag. So certainly you're running Jalen Hurts out there. DeAndre Swift, yes. A.J. Brown, what a phenomenal piece of talent that man is. A.J. Brown, a wide receiver one. The one that's the head scratcher is Devonta Smith. He's got all the same talent, but it's kind of like the Jalen Waddle thing. We kind of wanted more. That's why we drafted these guys so high. So you almost have to flex him because something great could happen. Dallas Goedert also in as a tight end for sure, and I would put him in all formats. And I think the Philadelphia Eagles defense is the defense of the week. Over to Washington. If you're desperate, we talked about him. Sam Howell, he's going to be running for his life, and sometimes that's a good thing in fantasy football. He can get you some yards. No clue what's going on with the Washington backfield. Robinson has really slowed down. Antonio Gibson is a corpse. Where is he at? So now Chris Rodriguez Jr. kind of steps into the fold. I'm not sure I want a part of any of that. I think there's better options for you on the waiver wire. Terry McLaurin, sure. Jahan Dotson, just like Devonta Smith. What's going on there? Curtis Samuel has gotten you some love over the last few weeks. I never had a chance really to see what happened last week against the Giants. Well, yeah, not too much. 4 receptions, 8 targets. But Curtis Samuel, they're designing some runs and stuff for him. Logan Thomas is a fine choice and a tight end mandatory start, and that's it. 20% chance of rain. Philadelphia favored by 6.5. Lyle, Cleveland, Seattle.
Yeah, this is not a great fantasy pickup game. Just because there's so many pieces in this matchup that are questionable. Starting with the quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson, who knows if he's going to play. If he does, even you're probably not playing him, or P.J. Walker. Jerome Ford's doubtful, so that means Kareem Hunt makes a much bigger factor in this game. I think he's an RB2, certainly for this week, with Pierre Strong being the backup. I'd pick up Strong, but unless you're in a really deep league, I think Strong belongs on your bench. You might make the case for Amari Cooper, too. He's feast or famine. He's had 3 decent fantasy weeks and 3 just duds, so I think that all chalks up to maybe a wide receiver 3 for this week. I'm not playing in David Njoku or Elijah Moore, so that pretty much rules out the rest of the Browns. As for Seattle, Geno Smith's been really up and down against a good Cleveland defense. I'm not playing Geno. Kenneth Walker is a must start, but you do have to make sure he's playing. He's very questionable with a calf injury, so make sure you check your lineup Sunday morning for that one. If he doesn't go, Zach Charbonnet steps in and I think is at least an RB2 flex option for you this week in the event that Walker doesn't go. And as for the receivers, I'm only going to play DK Metcalf. He's been super solid, 10 to 17 points every week, so I think he's a solid wide receiver 2 or 3. But I'm probably benching Tyler Lockett, and I just don't trust Jackson Smith and Jigba yet enough to be playing them in fantasy lineups.
Seattle favored by 3.5 points, and that is not all the end of the games, but that is the end of our hour on the Fantasy Football Foursome. You want to hear the rest of the games, and there are 5 to go. We're going to go XL, and you can find it on 941theloon.com. You can also find it on that free 941 The Loon app. We want to thank our sponsors, West Central Trophies, ACC Midwest Transportation, Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar and the United States Marine Corps. I want to thank our producer, Nate Thomas, and for Justin Havemeyer and Lyle Dickman, my name is John Jennings. We'll see you over on the app for the Fantasy Football Foursome XL.